I'm terrible at The Price is Right, so scared me there for a minute. How's everybody doing this morning? It's good to be here. Finally, my family is together. We've been apart for about a month now, back and forth, and I'm excited that we're all here. My parents and brother and his twin boys are here. I'm going to point them out to you because I know that they would hate for me to do that. Why don't I have you stand up just to really make it embarrassing. They're here. It's my mom's birthday today. Everybody wish her a happy birthday. It's good. So my family's here. I've got friends from our former church that are sitting behind them. And it's great that they're here. They're actually at Tim's Ford, right, this weekend, and they're having a good time. They decided to come and worship with us this morning. So I'm really limited on what I can talk about this morning because I can't talk bad about my family or former church. but anyway, Chris had asked me to speak this morning, and he asked me to, first of all, talk about youth ministry, my philosophy of youth ministry, just kind of let everybody know what it is. And also he asked me to speak for an hour so that when he comes back, everybody's like, yes, only 30-minute sermons. But I'm not going to speak for an hour. I'll try to get you out early today so you'll like me more than Chris. But he wanted me to talk about youth ministry and my philosophy of youth ministry. I already messed it up, didn't I? They told me not to touch this thing. I was brought up in the church basically my whole life. I grew up going to church, involved in youth group. When I was a real young boy, my grandpa used to tell me I was going to be a holy roller preacher man, and I had no idea what that meant. And I was like, no, but he would always call on me to say the blessing for the food or anything like that. And kind of throughout my whole life, there were signs that I would go into ministry. People told me that, and I kind of resisted it, but eventually I succumbed to God's will in my life and became a youth minister. But throughout, when I remember, like in the early 90s, being in the youth group, this statistic started coming up. 80% of young people leave church within 2 years of graduating high school. Now that number varied between 70 and like 95%. And I always heard this, and I heard this through college. I heard this early years of youth ministry. Man, it bothers me. Does it bother you? 80% of young people leave the church within 2 years of graduating high school. And I started thinking, well, first of all, that's terrible. And why? But second of all, why am I doing this? Why am I even a youth minister if 80% of the kids are never going to come back to church? Is it really worth it? And then I started thinking a little bit more of this. And as the years went on in youth ministry, I was like, well, man, I must be doing a good job because 80% of the kids that are coming through the churches that I'm at aren't leaving the church forever. I mean, some of them do, but it's not that high of a number. So I started questioning these numbers. Now, a lot of people have done a lot of studies on this and done a lot of surveys on this because it is a problem. Young people are leaving the church. But there's one study in particular that I found that was done by Lifeway in 2007. They wanted to get at the heart of this. They wanted to understand if young people are leaving the church after they graduate high school, why is this? How many are there? And what's really going on here? So they did this study in 2007 where they polled 1,000 adults, 18 to 30 years old, who had attended a Protestant church for at least 1 year in high school, okay? This is by no means the end-all, be-all of studies on this, all right? It's limited. However, this was the group that they used. 1,000 adults age 18 to 30 who had at least 1 year in high school attended church. And that was, you know, from sporadic to regular, all right? And this is what they found. They found that 70% stop attending regularly between the ages of 18 to 22. Okay, it's less than 80, but it's still not great, right? But here's what we got to do. We've got to read between the lines here, all right? Because they didn't just stop at that. They actually asked questions. And what they found was that although 70% stop attending regularly between the ages of 18 to 22, at least two-thirds of those come back to church. Okay? They come back to church. This isn't they quit forever. This is they go on hiatus. They go on vacation. All right? And it makes sense, right? It makes sense at this age that they're going to go on vacation in some ways. And actually, what some studies have said is that it's inevitable. That once kids graduate high school, it's inevitable they're going to leave the church for a little while. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just part of growing up. It's part of becoming an adult. Part of maturing. All right? But I want to know why. Why does this happen? Why do young people feel the need to take a break from church? And so Lifeway asked some questions, and what they found is they came up with six responses that were the most used for why young people said that they had left the church even for a little while. First one is they simply wanted a break. You remember back when you were 18 years old, graduating high school, finally got some freedom from your parents, right? You want to take a break, right? You finally have that time when your parents aren't making you do everything. And so for a lot of kids, that means, hey, I'm going to take a break from church because that's something that my parents forced on me all those years, right? They made me get up on Sunday morning, made me come to church, whether I wanted to or not. So they wanted to take a break. Next reason was they went to college. Went to college. Now, I'm going to make some confessions here during this. My first year in college, I went to the University of the South my first year. I think I went to church twice. All right? And I wanted to become a youth minister. So you see, you know, when you get to college, man, you're away from your parents. You don't have rules anymore. You can kind of do what you want to. You stay up late, like real late. You sleep late. You miss classes. And church is just kind of, it's not that big a deal for some people. And so college has a lot to do with this. Another one is work responsibilities, kind of in the same vein, right? You get a full-time job or whatever, and you really feel like an adult. And you want to make adult decisions. And for some people, that means, hey, I'm going to sleep it on Sunday because I worked so hard all week long. Or you get a job because you're just out of high school or just out of college, and you don't get to choose your shift. And so you have to work on Wednesday nights. You have to work on Sunday mornings. And so that gets in the way. Another one, moved away from their home church, which implies they didn't find a new church, right? And this is a big deal to some people. Moving away from that home church where there were some connections there, where there were some people that at least would ask them, hey, we didn't see you at church on Sunday. What were you doing? You know, we're concerned about you. But they moved away from the home church, and they didn't really look for one, a new one to be a part of. Fifth reason, they were too busy. Have you ever felt like that? Adults even get too busy? Yeah, well, sometimes we do. It's an excuse, but it's one that we use. And sixth reason was that they chose to spend time with friends outside of church. Now, I want you to look at these reasons right here. Nowhere on here is I had a doctrinal disagreement with the church. Nowhere on here is I have a theological problem with the church. Nowhere on here is I do not believe in God anymore. Right? No, those reasons aren't on there. These reasons are different, right? These reasons boil down to one thing, and that's relationship. Okay? The reasons that young people have for leaving the church aren't so much about theological reasons or doctrinal reasons, but they're about relationship. Young adults aren't leaving the church because of theological or doctrinal disagreements, or even out of rebellion. They simply lose track of the church and stop seeing it as important in their lives. That's the real problem. That's the real problem. Is they stop seeing the church as important to their lives, or they never saw it as important to their lives. Of those that were polled who never returned to church, there was some 6% of those that never returned to church. What do you think the reasons are that they gave? It wasn't that they went to college and were taught that there's no such thing as God, or their faith was challenged. These are the reasons that they gave, overwhelmingly, two reasons. One, church members seemed judgmental or hypocritical. Two, they didn't feel connected to people in the church. Once again, relational. Has all to do with people and the connections that we make. And so while so many people have pondered this large number of a large percentage of teens and young adults that leave the church, and what are the reasons? And some people said, well, we're not teaching them the right things. We're not drilling into their heads the doctrine of the church. We're not making sure that they know what they need to know. In a large part, that's not the reason that they leave at all. The reason that they leave is they're not connected at all to their church. They don't feel like they're a part of the church. And that's the problem. To remain a part of the church, a person must have experienced the value of teaching and relationships of the church and see the relevance for the next phase of life. See, yes, it's important to teach the right things, and we need to teach the right things. But people have to experience those things. They have to experience relationships. They have to see the value in those teachings and the relationships, and they need to see how it's relevant to their lives. And guys, this isn't just true for young adults. This is true for everybody. It's true for everybody. All right, so what do we do with this? What do we do with this information? We know that somewhere around 70% take a hiatus from church. What do we do? Well, that's an important question for me being a youth minister. Because I don't want to just build up a group of young adults that love being a part of a youth ministry but don't care a lick about being a part of a church. All right? So a church or a youth ministry, it's got to be more than a waiting room with games and pizza. All right? It's what I call Chuck E. Cheese youth ministry. And another confessional here is I've practiced this, all right, where I've made it about games and about pizza and about fun stuff and about basically a holding room between childhood and adulthood, and never connected those teens and young adults to the church itself. And this is a huge problem. And there's a lot of people that are writing books now saying that youth ministers are the reason that young adults are leaving the church. And they might have a point. They might have a point. I'm not saying this because I don't want a job, all right? But they might have a point, and here's why. Because if all we do is just provide fun and provide a way for teens to be separate, and not just even fun, but just a way for them to be separate from the church family, then they're never going to connect to the church as a whole. And for far too many years, and too many people, and I've been guilty of this too, is we've made the youth group a separate church, a separate entity within the church, where parents drop their kids off, kids have a fun time. Man, teens can go, they have all the time in the world, they can go do service projects, they can do all this kind of stuff, but never connect it to the actual church. And so when they graduate from high school, what's left for them? Where do they go from there? And especially if they're a part of a church that doesn't do anything. You know, I've seen way too many churches that their whole existence was meeting together on Sunday morning. And they've got a great youth program. But when those teens graduate from high school and they look at the rest of the church and they're like, man, this is boring. There's nothing going on here. And so we can't be guilty of that. We can't be guilty of separating teens and young adults from the rest of the church. They have to be together. So there's three things that we've got to do. Three things we've got to do, and they're really interlocked. Okay, they really just go together. The first one is disciple, disciple, disciple. All right? Got to disciple. That's what it's got to be about for everybody. Discipling is about bringing the total life under the control of Christ. Everything that we are needs to be under the control of Christ. And people need to see that. It needs to be evident in the church. Right? It needs to be taught. It needs to be modeled. Great Commission. Right? We're all familiar, most people are familiar with this at least. The Great Commission is in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. It says this, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. And Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Man, this is awesome. Okay, Jesus is telling his disciples to go make new disciples. How would they know how to do that? They were shown, right? They spent years with Jesus. And they spent time with him. And it wasn't just Jesus saying, "All right, here's the checklist of what you need to do to make disciples." All right? And he didn't just sit them down and lecture them. He showed them. They saw him perform miracles. They saw him love people. They saw him heal people. And they saw him do all the things that he wanted them to go and do after he was gone. And so the way that they knew to make disciples was exactly the way that they were taught. And so when they go out to make disciples, they're going to do it the same way. We've got to do it the same way. All right? We can't look at the Great Commission and go, well, that means we need to go and spread the word and leave everybody on their own. All right? Which is honestly what a lot of Christians and churches have done over the past. So we go and we ram the gospel down their throat, we get them wet, and then we leave them. And this is about discipling, about living the life, and about teaching other people how to live that life also. All right, go along with this. Parents must be involved. All right, parents must be involved. Now, it's no secret that when you have two parents in a home and they're both committed Christians, that these statistics swing way in the favor of kids staying in church. All right? You don't have to have two parents for it to be successful. You can have one parent that's committed to this. But parents, it's not about making sure your kids come here. All right? It's not about making sure your kids are at every event, even though I would love for them to be at every event. But it's about more than that. The most quoted, the most prayed passage in Scripture is the Shema. It's Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. This is very important. It is central to the lives of the Jews, and it should be central to our lives too. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." God should consume your life. Everything you do should be focused on God. And for all this to be successful, Christianity has to be modeled in the home. Christ has to be modeled in the home. It can't be, church can't just be about coming here on Sunday morning and worshiping or maybe coming on Wednesday night for class. It's got to be a 24/7 thing, and kids need to see that from their parents. And if they do, they're going to be a lot more likely to stick with Christ. But it's not just the parents either, all right? It's not just parents either. It takes a church. You guys are all familiar with it takes a village to raise a child, right? Well, it takes a church to raise a child. And because the church is a community. We're a community of believers. We have this amazing singular thing in common with each other, which is the belief that Jesus is Lord. And as a community, we help each other. We disciple each other. And so it does take a church. I'll go ahead and tell you, one of the main things that attracted me to Forest Mill was that this is true here. When I came and I looked and I talked to people, man, what an awesome community you guys have. We're not just parents, but adults that really shouldn't have a connection to teens are connected to teens. And the fact that you haven't had a youth minister for so long and your youth group so healthy, it says a whole lot about this church and about how committed you are to making disciples. Ephesians 4:11 through 16 says this, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." How do we mature in Christ? How do we grow to be disciples? We all work together, right? The leaders of the church, the teachers of the church, equip the saints for ministry. The church works together for this to happen. We don't leave it to the youth minister. We don't leave it to the parents. We all do it together. And I want to commend you guys. This is what I see going on here. But keep it up. Keep it up. Here's what we'll end on. For teens to stay involved in the church, to become a part of a church, see it as important in their lives, and see it as a way to live and not just an event to go to, they need to see active, practice faith in their parents and in other positive examples of the church. And they'll stop being dropouts, and then they'll start being disciples. It's up to us. All right? It's up to you. It's up to me. All of us working together to make sure that we're modeling Christ, that we're teaching Christ, that we're living Christ. So this morning, if you haven't been living Christ, and you want to, if there's something in you that's calling out, hey, I want a better life. I want to follow Christ. I don't want to drop out. I want to be a part. If that's what you want this morning, then I'd ask you to come forward. If there's anything that we need to pray for, that the elders need to pray for, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Father, take my life. Father, make my life.